I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Faith Friday here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. You know, I've been thinking, maybe we need an anti-defamation league for Christianity, but the problem isn't attacks from atheists or other religions. The problem is that Christians are defaming Christianity themselves with their horrible behavior and turning Christianity into a hate group. Now, it's not all Christians. But when you look at the news, that's all the news you hear about Christianity. Their desire to control other people's sex lives, their hatred of gay people, their misogyny, their acceptance of just far-out insane beliefs. They are the ones who are doing the most harm to Christianity. And they're why Christianity is shedding so many of the faithful. In the face of such a horrible religion, they walk away. But that is not Christianity. Almost nothing that the evangelical far right is doing has anything to do with actual Christian faith. They have distorted and perverted it. And so much of it is around their fear of sexuality. Now, yes, we have the corrupting influence of megachurches, and we've talked about that. That's not Christian. You can't raise a fortune and have jets and live in a mansion and call yourself a Christian leader. That has nothing to do with Christianity. That's the opposite of Christianity. And expand that to include pretty much all the prosperity gospel preachers. They're all con men or con women. The prosperity gospel has more to do with satanic worship than it does with Christian worship. So let's look at some of the things that are going on that seem rather disturbing. And one of the core things is that because Christians are, quote-unquote, forgiven, they're somehow better than everyone else. And I don't see that at all. And it's a majority religion, and one of the most diverse religions here in the United States. There are hundreds of different sects and variations, and you can't point to one and say, that's Christian, and they're all different. But being a Christian doesn't seem to necessarily make you any better, even a Christian pastor. Here's what Amber Richards had to say. Not a day goes by that I don't in some way think of what he did to me. I firmly believe if given the opportunity, he would victimize another young girl. She's talking about Pastor Dave Richards, who adopted her when she was 14, and that's about the time when he began raping her, and raped her over a long period of time. Pastor David Richards is evil. He's wrong. He's a bad man. He's terrible. He's awful. But he's a Christian, so he's better. Does that make any sense to you? Doesn't make any sense to me either, but it made sense to the judge. Lots of people came in and said, you know, come on. Yeah, he did this, but he's a good Christian. And the judge said, okay, cool. Pastor David Richards should have gotten 78 years in prison. He was guilty. But the judge said he took into account the man's Christianity and his longtime ministry as mitigating factors, and the fact that he had support from other Christians. Those are mitigating factors. They are not mitigating factors. He's a child rapist. Should have gotten 78 years, essentially life, because he's dangerous. And instead, he got only 12 years. And the judge admitted he only got 12 years because he's a Christian. That is insane. And actions like that defame Christianity. And let's talk about megachurches. Oh my God, there's a pastor in Florida who stole $1.7 million. This father and son who run a prosperity gospel megachurch ministry bought into their own nonsense. He felt he deserved the money, not just deserved, but God was giving him the money, which is now why he refuses to give it back. That's insane. That defames Christianity. And then there's James McDonald. We're not talking about things that happened a long time ago. I'm just picking out recent things from the news. James McDonald. Donald is the founder of the Harvest Bible Chapel. His bodyguard, Emmanuel Manny Bucker, claims that he tried to hire him to murder his ex-son-in-law, to commit murder. I'm pretty sure that it's in the Bible. You're not supposed to do that. And ironically, what makes this story so amazing is that he tried to hire him on a trip to the Creation Museum in Kentucky. But MacDonald is not one of those, you know, hands-off ministers. No, he even volunteered to help get rid of the body. You know, you see all these stupid things with fathers in movies going, you know, to the man who's dating their daughters. If you hurt my daughter, I will end you. And this guy kind of took that really seriously. First of all, he has a bodyguard? Who is the bodyguard trying to save him from? Certainly not going to save his soul, because he lost that a long time ago. But amazingly, this is not what got him fired. Remember, he's a prosperity gospel minister. They feel that they're due money. So he was actually fired from his megachurch because of financial improprieties. And of course, he was on Donald Trump's Evangelical Advisory Council. And we got to do a whole segment, because Trump's advisory council are some of the worst, most corrupt people you could imagine. But he didn't have to step down from the advisory council because he tried to have his son-in-law murdered, ex-son-in-law. He wasn't asked to step down because of his criminality and stealing money from his church. No, he had to step down because of the disparaging remarks about women that he made. This man defames Christianity. Or how about this? And again, this is recent stuff. I'm not having to reach way back. Georgia Christian Coalition leader surrenders to the FBI on charges of stealing $2 million. Oh, and he used part of that money to fund his successful run to become Georgia Insurance Commissioner. Well, of course, it's Georgia. Is anyone elected in Georgia not completely corrupt? It is our most corrupt state. I mean, their election system is a joke. But that's what Jim Beck did, and Jim Beck defames Christianity. And even though the majority of Christians do not oppose gays and abortion, that's sort of the impression that we get. And what we get from the Christians who oppose abortion and homosexuality is an unending stream of lies. And we'll talk more about that, and we talked about it last week, about the Equality Act and their unending lying about it, and it's straight out lying. And we have talked on this show a number of times about the concept of godly lying, that it's okay to lie for God. So yes, a lot of people don't know that they're lying, they're just repeating the lies that other people have told them, but a lot of people do know they're lying, and they do believe that they're fully justified in their lies. Lying for God defames Christianity. And then there's their involvement in politics, and even turning Donald Trump into a religious cult. And it is. We've talked some about that, and we'll talk more about that. But they do treat him like a religious cult, of any type of cult. It fits right within the typical pattern of religious cults. But there's this chapter from Matthew 22:21. It says, and this is quoting Jesus. Jesus said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Okay, I'm fine with that. To me, that's basically separating church and state. You got your church stuff, and you got your politics. Of course, they didn't know about democracy at the time. They didn't really have such a thing. Not under Roman rule. But then there's this tricky one, Romans 13:1. "Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God." Now, a number of people have taken that and other things and tried to make it that God chose Trump, he's the chosen one. But if you actually read Romans 13:1, that's not what that's saying, that you don't get to pick and decide which leader is chosen by God. It says that all leaders are essentially chosen by God. Now, that's not a quote from Jesus. The problem is that far-right Christians, and this kind of includes Republicans in general, believe that only applies if it's a Republican. They literally believe that their party is God's party, and that's a big part of the problem, because there's no biblical support for that. And when a Democrat is in office as president, the religious right constantly attacks them. And actually, that's not biblical. But it's hard to apply this stuff. This stuff in the Bible was written when nobody had a democratically elected representative. But of course, in the Bible, it's all about context, and that story is actually about taxes. A lot of people thought that paying taxes was immoral because the government was immoral. And basically, Jesus is saying, pay your taxes. And as Jesus taught, money isn't important, possessions aren't important. He had neither. course, the irony is that in this country, churches don't pay taxes. And apparently neither do presidents, who seem to be leading some kind of weird Christian-based death cult, where we take away people's rights and work to destroy the planet. And that defames Christianity.